Welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and Chavruta Yerdeda Azband, our daf of the day, Masechet Bav Metzia, daf Kaf Bet, page 22. So the first part of the daf goes through more possible cases, more proofs about exactly how to determine, you know, what it, I guess we'll say, you know, the identity or the owner of each case. There's a lot of them, a bunch of them. And I want to skip those and hone in on what's considered, I guess, a digression, what I'll call a pop-up window, but it's a comparable incident to what's happened before. Amemar Omar Zutrav Rav Ashi Iklu Labustina Damari Bar Isak. So Amemar and Marzutra and Rav Ashi were in the orchard, that's the Bustina, of Mari Bar Isak. So first of all, I already like the setting. Aiti Arisa Tamre Verimone Vasada Kamayu. So what happens? He's got a worker who comes and gives him dates and pomegranates before them, right? And then Amemar Rav Ashi Achle, Marzutra Lo Achil. So Amemar and Rav Ashi ate what they were given. They ate the fruit, and Marzutra did not eat. Adahachi Atamari Bar Isak, Ishtachin U, Vamar Le La Arisa. So what happens is, right, it seems to be that there's some concern that the worker who brought them the fruit didn't have the permission to do so. And so on the one hand, he's being courteous and lovely. And on the other hand, maybe he's really stealing from his owner, the owner of the orchard. So then Mari Bar Isak comes and finds them and they're eating the fruit, except for Marzutra's not. And he says to the worker, you know, why didn't you bring them fruit from the best of the fruits? Right? He only brought them from a lesser quality, apparently. Amrulei Amemar Rav Ashi Lamarzutra Hashta Amaylo Achil Mar. So Amemar and Rav Ashi say to Marzutra, why aren't you eating? Like, you could have been eating. And then we get into a breita that suggests, in fact, that he could have been eating. Vatanya in Imnim Tzuya Fotmehen Trumato Truma. So we've got this breita that's specifically a case like this, right? Where you go and you get the produce of the field, and then they bring you better quality produce, and then you take the truma from the new better quality produce. Now, if the produce of the better quality, right, then if he's taken the truma, then it's considered truma, meaning if he took it already. But ideally, he should take the truma from the better quality produce. So what happens then is that Marzutra brings the statement of Rava on this breita about truma. Lo amru kulach etzel yafot ela le'inyan truma bilvad. This idea that you should, you know, treat, go after the better quality of the produce is specific when it comes to truma. The implication being, you know, this idea that Mari Bar Isak was happy with the worker for providing them with this food. So he could, theoretically anyway, Marzutra could have been eating and it should have been fine. So the idea then is Mishum de Mitzvahu, the I guess that should be he, namely that the reason that you would take truma from the better quality fruit or produce, even though you may have already been given lesser quality, is because it's a mitzvah. You're going to want to do the mitzvah of truma. That separation off of the tithing of you know, should be at the highest level, right? That's specifically to truma. And the idea is then that the owner would want that taken. He would want the truma taken because it's a mitzvah. So if you do that on the owner's fruits, he's not going to complain because you've been helping him fulfill a mitzvah. V'nichale, it's beneficial to him. Aval hacha, mishum kisifuta, hu da'amar hachi. But in this case, right, then it's just a matter of an embarrassment, right? Like, why didn't you bring the better quality fruits? Meaning not that he so badly wanted to provide fruit for them at all, but once he's going to have to, because they're there, then the worker should provide the best quality. I'm not clear on why Marzutra's take, meaning I understand Rava, Right, Rava's claim that the truma is because it's a mitzvah, and that's why the owner would be glad for the best quality to be brought out, and also to make sure that everybody gets to eat. I'm not sure why the position here is like, oh, it's just out of shame that maybe he didn't really want to give them the fruit at all. So this is a puzzle to me. But the only thing I could suggest is that I have a note here, right, a biography note. We're not going to do a whole who's who on my Isaac, except to say this. It's possible that there are two people with the same name because he's referred to a couple of times, but of what we do know, it seems that he was very wealthy and he often had visitors in his home, or several of the sages anyway, like here, right? And the claim is that he may have used, or that the sages believe that he used his wealth in improper ways, which means that there were times where they actually changed their regulations of evidence with regard to him because of how he would kind of finagle things to his own benefit, to his own benefit. But then what happens then is that when he's being generous, there's this like eye of suspicion on what he's doing. And I think it's a little bit tricky because the case as it's written here is pretty sparse. And if I didn't have this note telling me about Mari Bar Isaac, then I'm stuck saying, why would I think that he means anything askance? And the answer is, well, because maybe he did, because the Gemara has a sense of who this person is. On the face of it, I would like to think that the orchard owner would provide some, you know, tastes of his fruit for his guests.
I mean, there's something almost coded about this story, right? Like, it assumes you know something about some of the personalities almost, that's not completely evident there. So that, to me, is a little bit interesting. But I agree. I think it's a great story, and there's a bunch that one could discuss from it. I'm going to move on now to the next section of the actual Mishnah, which talks about krichot b'rishut harabim harei elu shelo, right? Small sheaves that are found in the public domain, they belong to the finder. And so the Gemara has a disagreement about this. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, "Va'fil dvar sheyesh bo siman." This holds true even if there is a siman on the small sheaves, the finder is still allowed to keep it, which is a pretty remarkable thing, because before we talked about yesterday that if it has a siman, that means there almost in a way could never be yeyush on it, right? But well, there could be eventually, but typically we say there's no yeish. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Amak Sava Rabba, we see that Rabba's of the opinion, Siman ha'asui lidras, right? An identifying mark that tends to be trampled, lo have a siman, is not an identifying mark, right? Because somebody who would find it, that kind of mark, wouldn't necessarily announce it. So even though so small sheaves is something small, it's something that could be trampled, right? And if it falls to the ground. And so therefore, even as an identifying mark on it, it's kind of like so small, or the siman on it is so small or could get messed up because somebody could walk on it. We don't consider it a real siman. Rava Amar, but Rava says, Lo shanu ela b'davar she'ein bo siman, right? Rava says, no, this Mishnah about taking the small sheaves is only if it doesn't have an identifying mark. Aval b'davar she'yesh bo siman, but if it has an identifying mark, chayav lehachriz. The finder is obligated to announce it. Now, I actually think this is consistent with Rava's idea about yeyush, right, that we learned previously, where basically he says there's no yeyush until the owner is aware that he lost the objects. Because here, I think the argument Rava's making is that, yeah, as long as there is a siman, the expectation of the owner is somebody will see, oh, there's a siman, and then announce it and try to return it. So to me, it seems somewhat consistent that Rava seems to be much more concerned about sort of like what the thought process is of the owner. The Gemara from here goes on to say, Almak Sava Rava, we see that from Rava, Siman Hasui Lidrias, an identifying mark that tends to be trampled, have a Siman, it is still a Siman, right? Meaning a Siman is still a Siman. The Gemara from here gives another version of this machlokes. There are those who teach this discussion about these identifying marks that somehow can, you know, sort of be, that can sort of be erased or destroyed. But afne nafshe, right? It's a discussion in its own right, meaning it's not connected to this, to the Mishnah. What is it? Siman asui lidrash, an identifying mark that tends to be trampled. Rabba amar lo have a siman. Rabba says it's not a siman. the Rabba Amar have a siman, and Rabba says it is a siman. And then the Gemara tries to understand, right, tries to prove what Rabba has to say. It's non, we learned in the Mishnah, krichud bereshut harabim harei elu shelo, right? So he uses, they're using our Mishnah as a proof for Rabba's position, right? That small sheaves that are found in the public domain, they belong to the finder. Bereshut harachi, but if they're found in a private domain, notel umachoriz, the finder has to take them and announce his finding. Now the Gemara will look at this a little bit more closely. Hey chidami, what's the circumstances? Idalis behu siman. If the small sheaves of this Mishnah have no identifying mark on them, bereshut yachid my michris. Then when they're found in a private domain, what can one announce? There's nothing to announce. You don't have a siman by which to identify it. Remember, when they talk about announcing, it's saying, I found something, you know, and I could announce it. Ella lab, you know, Ella lab de is behu siman. So it has to be, right, that it is something that has a mark on it, viktani. And that's why our Mishnah teaches us, bereshut harabim harei elu shelo, right? If it's found in the public domain, they belong to the finder. Meaning that it's something that it's treated as if it doesn't have a siman. Alma, we see from this, siman hasui lidrash, an identifying mark that tends to be trampled and, you know, blotted out. Lo have a siman, it's not a siman. A rejection of Rabba's opinion is actually, we're dealing with small sheaves that don't have a siman on that, on them, and that's why you don't have to announce it if it's found in the Rishut HaRabim. Then in a private domain, the finder has to announce it. Machriz makom, he announces the location. And because it's in a Rishut HaYachid, a person, you know, could say, oh, I know I lost it in such a place, because in a way that also acts as its own siman. Like if you knew you lost it somewhere, you know, that could happen. So anyhow, I thought this was also an interesting machlokas, the idea that Ford is like some simani maybe are ranked better than others, but Rav is consistent, right? It has to do with the owner, what the owner's expectation is or the owner's mindset. And that's what I also liked about, you know, why I wanted to read this, because it, to me, it seems to pull through what we were.
That's our daf discussion for the day. Thank you for joining us. Rank us, review us where you get your podcast. Come talk to us on our Facebook page and tell us what you think of this daf. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. And until tomorrow, go and learn.